At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers. With Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
If you were Diddy's attorney, the birthday video that came out, would you have recommended that he put that out? Or would you have said, nah, this might backfire at some point in time?
I'd be recommending that he do something within that context. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not sure the birthday video with the family was the most well executed, and I'm not sure it had really the impact that they wanted. But he's got to do something. He's got to try and change, or at least some people's minds in terms of how they are viewing this case. Because if it's 98% negative, that percentage is going to carry over into the jury pool. And so, you know, on the other hand, he can't manipulate prospective jurors, so it's kind of a delicate dance that he has to try and do.
I mean, is there any way of getting back in any of this? I mean, I know it's like kicking and scratching, it seems. I just don't know that there is any path for him at this point, unless you had every accuser that came out and said, oh, sorry, it was another person. We made a mistake. Clearly, that's not going to happen. Is there any redeeming at this point, or is it just I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to say at this point. I certainly would not want to be the defense of Diddy.
Yeah, I mean, the hole that he has to try to dig himself out of is so massive. We did see some things come forward, like defense claims that one of the accusers tried to ask a boyfriend to corroborate what she was saying and wanted to pay him money or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a little shady, but can defense really like identify something shady with every single one of the dozens and dozens of accusers? It just seems implausible.
And that's a key thing in this, because you have dozens and dozens and dozens, we're getting into the hundreds actually, of accusations coming against him from various people. How do you dig into each one of those? Because they got to really walk a fine line here and not look like they're victim blaming or just completely dismissing someone's allegations. But how do you get in there and really make a determination on what is, you know, solid, what has some legs to it and what doesn't, if you're the defense? Or do you just say all of it's fake? I mean, that seems to be what they've been doing thus far, until like there's literally video of him beating up Cassie.
Yeah, you know, as we get further along in this case, his attorneys, his legal team, his investigators are going to have to get down to the nitty gritty and really look into the backgrounds of these folks. Like I said, they were able to identify a credibility issue with at least one accuser. Do other accusers have stuff like that in their past that the defense could at least highlight to try to argue? I'm sure that they do. But it's going to be such a tedious process going through the old reports, old witness statements, old photographs and videos, combing through them with an investigator to try and determine what can we use on the defense side from this.
The 1999 club shooting involving Shine and Jennifer Lopez being there, that documentary out on Hulu right now, it's called The Honorable Shine. Is there any chance that any elements of that case make it into these indictments? Is there anything from that point in time that's going to be re-litigated? I mean, he was acquitted back then, so I think we're probably going into double jeopardy territory, would we not? Or would some of these things be considered new evidence, considering you literally have the person who was shot saying, yeah, it was Diddy who shot me. They were right there, point blank. Is there anything that would put that back into motion, or is that just kind of come and gone now?
You know, I think Diddy gets out of that one and stays out of that one. As you mentioned, he went to trial on these charges. He was acquitted. And so the double jeopardy clause of the Constitution says he cannot face those charges again. However, in subsequent legal matters, prior acts of dishonesty can come in. And so could they get, could they put Shine up there to say, hey, Diddy, knew he did it, but he said, hey, Shine, you be the fall guy. I'm going to pay you a nominal sum of money to do this for 10 years of your life in prison. And is that an act of dishonesty that goes to Diddy's credibility that could be brought up in a subsequent legal proceeding? Yes.
Are you surprised that they haven't, the defense of Diddy hasn't had some more positive things to bring to the table? I mean, for like 30 years, he was out there. He was a major pop icon in pop culture around the world. And he was very big on philanthropy and all of that. I mean, all on the surface to curate that image. But we really haven't seen any of that come out or be rehashed in the media since any of these things came out. I would think that maybe that would be some areas to, I guess, humanize him more. Because right now he's looking like the devil far more than an actual person.
Yeah, Tony, I'm totally surprised that his defense team hasn't done more to try to shift the public narrative. One thing they came out with that I thought was a complete misfire is they say, oh, the Cassie video, that wasn't a freak off. That was just, my client horribly assaulting his then female spouse. That doesn't gain you a ton of points. I'm just surprised that they haven't talked about his philanthropy, that they haven't called in some favors. I'm sure there are folks who owe him in some form or another. And I'm surprised he hasn't said, hey, Meek Mill, or hey, somebody, make a public statement in support of me. Or maybe they have and they just couldn't find anyone.
Well, it just feels completely tone deaf when you hear them arguing about the video saying, oh, it was gotten by ill means or it was edited. I mean, any way you edit that thing, it is what it is. You're not going to like somehow edit this thing. And in the original edit, he's not beating the shit out of Cassie. It's there. It just seems rather ludicrous to even bring that to the table publicly as an argument of technicalities.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I've talked before on your show about prosecutors kind of having blinders on, being in an echo chamber and just, thinking one thing that is detached from reality. I wonder if this is that principle, but on the defense side, mm-hmm. where the defense is saying, oh, the government edited this video and then leaked it. What scoundrels. We should really, condemn them for doing that. But the average person is going to watch the video and say, hey, it's still him beating the hell out of his spouse. Like any way you slice it, even if it was edited, who cares?
Well, it's like the general public. If you're exposing someone's wrongdoings, rules be damned. I mean, if it comes out, it comes out, and nobody's really going to give a crap about the technicalities of how this video came to light, considering it was already covered up by a payoff. So I don't think anyone really cares. When it comes to that, I mean, you can make your arguments in a courtroom setting, but this is the public opinion setting that they're trying to argue, but they're arguing like courtroom technicalities to the general public.
Exactly right, Tony. And those do not a really like technical legalistic argument doesn't always land so well with, Joe Smith from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so that's something they need to keep in mind. Another thing they're doing that I'm sure you've seen is they're going against the plaintiff's attorney who's representing the accusers, Tony Busby. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of trying to paint him out as this sort of greedy, manipulative type guy. And they might have some traction there, but they've got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, you can attack the character of someone, all you want, but at the end of the day, it wasn't Tony Busby who was having the freak-off parties, as far as we know. But it's one of those things where, okay, yeah, you can have that image of the attorney, but you have 100 and some people who have come to light saying these things. That's not nothing.
it's overwhelming. It's just, I mean, just statistically, like I'm a pretty criminal defense minded guy, but just looking at this statistically, could it be that 120 people are all completely fabricating and there was no unlawful activity at all? It just seems totally implausible.
It seems statistically impossible. It'll be fascinating as this continues to move. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.